It is episode 111. I am Michael Askins, architect and technologist, and this is IT Pro Tech Talks. And today we have a really unique topic. So historically, those who have listened to us have typically heard a lot of Microsoft evangelism, a lot of, you know, some third-party tooling with Microsoft. As those have known, the day job shifted a little bit, and you've heard us talk a little bit more about some other products, specifically Cisco products like WebEx. So today, I was, before I introduced the guest, I was kind of really blown away by a demo for the day job that was done by our guest today. And I said, we have to talk about this on the show because it is truly transformative for organizations. So without further ado, our guest today, Chris Bomba from Solutions for Networks. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. So thank you for joining us. I normally, for new guests, I try to grill them a little bit and get them out of their comfort zone, get to know you a little bit. So I'm going to ask you a few questions mostly unrelated to technology, but what was the last book you read?
The Silent Patient.
Okay. And how was that? Was it good?
It was good. It after the big reveal, it sort of just ended. So I was expecting there to be a little bit more. Okay. But everybody seems to like it. So that's why I read it. Not bad, though.
Not bad. What was the last song that you played on your playlist?
Oh, man. I don't know. Something with Taylor Swift, I guess, because my wife, her new album came out. And so that's what we've been listening to.
Very cool. Yeah, she's all over the place, even on non-country stations. She was on NPR the other day. They were talking about her on DVE. So I guess when you're, you know, a gazillionaire rock/country star, your boundaries just expand beyond your home neighborhood there. So one other question. iThing or Android?
Anything iDevice.
Oh, you're killing me. It's all good. So thanks for joining us. Before we jump into our topic, so just, you know, talk about your role at Solutions for Networks, the areas that you cover, and then we'll just dive right into this really cool piece of tech, marriage of two type of technologies that I was blown away with.
So my role at S4Nets is Vice President of Collaboration. I've been with Solutions for Networks for over 16 years now. And my responsibilities sort of are wide ranging, anything you see, anything unified communications related. So voice, video, contact center, messaging, learning, you know, you'll like that I'm, you know, learning all of the Microsoft products that relate to that as well. It's fun been to see, you know, the other side of things and to experience it and, you know, understand exactly, you know, what some of those other products are capable of.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially when customers say, oh, we like this about that product and we like this about this other product. You know, when you're diving and poking at the nuts and bolts in the behind, you can kind of see why they like certain things. Like, you know, we use WebEx and Teams at S4Nets, and, you know, both have quality aspects about them. Personally, you know, I do a lot of heavy Teams because I'm dealing a lot with the Microsoft ecosystem, though I'm out of my comfort zone doing some stuff with WebEx. So I'm really glad to be partnered up with you on those things, because you know that ecosystem pretty much better than anyone I've ever met. So hats off to you, sir. Now, the cool bit of tech, right? The contact center bit is crazy amazing. You did a demonstration that kind of married a bunch of different technologies together. So first of all, what is a WebEx contact center? It's just for those, we have business people and tech people listen. So if you want to give that combined answer, that's great. If you want to give a little bit of a tech deep dive so we can hit both, that's great too.
So the WebEx contact center is Cisco's native cloud contact center. It really spans any size organization. It provides, like most contact centers today, the omni-channel capabilities for customer interaction, bringing voice, email, chat into a unified environment. Cisco's bread and butter for a really long time was their on-premise solution for Unified Contact Center Express, or UCCX. And it's been so solid over the years that, you know, it's hard to believe some engineers, some consultants would be recommending or looking at other solutions. But you know, with the development of or the development that Cisco's putting into the WebEx Contact Center, that is quickly shifting in our eyes. You know, with selecting Cisco from a contact center perspective, you get you know, what Cisco calls the WebEx advantage, right? You know, the on the Gartner charts, right? It's a global cloud leader. You have the integrated portfolio from Cisco, so being able to really fulfill that whole range of communication needs from soup to nuts, having those devices, all of the existing on-prem stuff, you know, migrating everything out to the cloud. You have flexible migrations. So being able to, you know, not always just jump ship and go directly to the cloud, you have the ability to sort of live in both worlds for a time. Cisco is pushing a lot into some of the ancillary parts of it with, you know, customer journey and things like that, which we'll talk about further on. And over the past 5 to, 6 years, Cisco has really done a great job in developing and providing open platforms, you know, exposing, you know, a ton of APIs for all kinds of different needs. And then lastly, right, you always have the security aspects of Cisco, right? They are very security driven and they invest billions of dollars each year in that type of technology. So, you know, having that sort of, you know, as a package deal, really, I think, changes the game, like from the contact center side of things.
Yeah, that makes sense. And they are security driven. They have complete product lines just around security and security bolt-ons to their other offerings that they have. And it's good to see that we can have a true, you know, start to finish technology stack that is driven by that. So if someone doesn't have a contact center and they need to have some sort of a contact center, obviously, you know, this obviously there's scales to this, right? So what's the ideal customer for the cloud version of this?
So from sizing, right, it can go to, you know, 20,000 agents, it could be 2 agents. Cisco and Microsoft, for that matter, they have done a lot in terms of call management inside of their cloud solutions. You know, for some of these people that, some of the customers that are hunt group driven, right? You know, that call comes in, there's some sort of algorithm in place to be able to distribute that those calls to a subset of users so that they can handle the customer's needs or, you know, requirements. That has been around forever. And a lot of customers, that might be enough. You know, Cisco is putting some advanced reporting around that sort of call management. And generally that's where, you know, we make the jump to contact centers. First is reporting and analytics and being able to understand, you know, how those calls are coming in, how fast are they being handled. So now though, I think it's not so much about that small call handling aspects as more as of the omni-channel capabilities. Being able to reach your customers anywhere and everywhere that they live. That's, I think, where really the main reason where you would have somebody that's not necessarily a call center customer, but they want to make that jump. And sure, it's going to be something like that where, I mean, yeah, call volume and things like that, that's of course being able to efficiently handle those calls and contacts or customer interactions. That's a big part of it. But now I think it's so much as the reach that you can have as a company to be able to, you know, interact with your customers.
Yeah, that makes sense. And something just clicked in my head. One of a guests I had on last year and a friend of the show, Shally Steckert, has Shally's Alley. He does a lot with recruiting. and for, you know, recruiters. And the one thing that they're always looking for is some automation. And, but more importantly, that omni-channel, they're connecting through WhatsApp, they're connecting to, you know, voice, and they're trying to text. Just to kind of give that preference, I said, I was blown away by the demo. You married, and I'm going to ask you kind of what that level of effort is for the demo you did. Obviously it was just, you know, a small little demo for us, but you married the calling, which was a contact center component with Microsoft Teams. And you also had that inside of Dynamics. Can you kind of talk through that? Because, you know, a good bunch of our listeners are Teams users and D365 users. So you said they're open, there's APIs, there's ways to integrate. You know, you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So Webex Contact Center has some pre-built configurations or connectors that can be deployed in different CRMs. So we have Salesforce connectors, we have Dynamics 365 connectors. So once you have the Webex Contact Center, it's not too much of a lift to say, hey, I want to have my agents, instead of having two different interfaces set up where I have all my customer information on one side and I'm, you know, taking calls or interacting with contacts on another side from the call center, why not just have those agents live inside the CRM? If they're in there, they're interacting with, you know, all the customer data is inside of that interface. Let's make the agent experience more efficient and have them log just into Dynamics or Salesforce. And using the APIs and the connectors, we can then embed the agent interface also into that interface.
That's brilliant.
Into the CRM. So what benefits you get from that is when calls come in, we can use the ANI or the caller ID. Take that caller ID, search the database that's already existing with all your customer information, and then pop the customer data or contact or lead that's associated with that phone number. And as soon as the call is ringing on the agent's PC or, you know, phone, they would then also have the actual information they're going to need to interact with that customer immediately. It also works on outbound calls. So if you are a more sales driven company and you need to track those interactions, if you place an outbound call from the contact center, well, if you're calling a contact that exists inside of your CRM, we're going to be able to take that record of interaction and associate it directly to that contact lead customer, you know, record to be able to keep track of that, report on that later, take notes inside of that interface. So, you know, you can stay up to date with your customers.
Yeah, that's just yet another channel, because, you know, we did a D365 recently where we added the Outlook connector. So, you know, when you mentioned sales driven, you know, a sales team can actually log an email. It can show up in Dynamics. If they're making a call to the customer, they can see what was said in that last email. It's brilliant. So, you know, the integration is seamless to the point where even when I'm driving it, and I'm a really critical user because I'm, you know, in tech as you are, you know, I'm like really critical on lag and time and what does that look like? So the question I have then is, if I'm on D365, how's my calls getting from that user into the cloud down to D365? What does that look like, that routing? Because that's something to be concerned about, right?
Yes. Yeah. Any cloud environment, right? You have latency and, you know, those types of things that you have to worry about. So it all depends on sort of how we're interacting with the customer. Is it a new customer? Do they have a contact center already? Do they have infrastructure in place to, you know, handle that call volume? If, you know, they're a small customer and we could take those numbers, we could put them out in the cloud directly without having them, you know, even to come on-prem. Right. The beauty of the cloud contact center in general is you can sort of be anywhere. You know, in the past with Cisco's their on-prem solutions, you had to have a Cisco endpoint. You had to have Unified Communications Manager to make that tie-in via CTI. Now, we don't really care what the endpoint is. Yes, there are, you know, back-end benefits for it to be a Cisco endpoint and using Cisco calling or Webex calling. But now, right, if we have a customer that is using Microsoft, we can deliver that call, that agent call, directly to their Teams client, no problem. So from an architectural standpoint, we have a couple options. We have something called Cloud Connected PSTN, where that's essentially a SIP trunk in the cloud. We deliver those calls, those DID calls, over that SIP trunk. It hits the contact center. The contact center then will place that second call out to the agent. If they have on-premise architecture in place, that they have long-term relationships with their PSTN provider, we don't really want to disrupt that. Maybe they, you know, have worked really hard with in negotiations, rates, yeah. terms, all of that stuff, and they want to hold on to that, you know, those phone numbers. They don't want to port those off and then have to, you know, fight with Microsoft or Cisco, right, to get them back at some point.
Yeah.
So at that, we have something called local gateways. Essentially, they're just right session border controllers that will register out to these cloud entities and be able to receive that call from the PSTN provider, ship it out to the cloud contact center, and then, you know, have those agent calls route back. The Cisco contact center is actually sort of split into two parts. There's an application layer and the voice media layer. So anything from the voice media layer will stay inside that layer. All their interactions above that, you know, are going to be the application. So the calls will then just sort of hairpin back to get to the agent.
Yeah, that's there's a lot of architecture in there, but I believe wholeheartedly that Cisco and Microsoft make it as easy as possible, you know, if you're well thought out and planned. So, you know, thinking of that, you know, if I have the on-premises solution, is there a path to go to the cloud solution? If I'm on the, you know, the legacy, or the, it's not even legacy, it's the robust on-premises solution, is there a path forward to migrate from that solution to the cloud solution? Is there a hybrid model? What does that look like?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are a couple options. If we said that we had a customer that was on-prem and they wanted to start to look at migrating to the cloud, they wanted, you know, to get everything out of their data centers and stop worrying about upgrades and all of that stuff, we could stand up the cloud-connected PSTN environment with some, you know, test DIDs. And as part of that, right, we would make sure everything works prior to porting any numbers. The porting process in both Microsoft and Cisco is pretty simple. We just provide them, you know, some documentation, some bills that have the actual numbers on it. Inside their portals, we'll then be able to, you know, essentially press a button when, you know, we're ready to actually port the DIDs over, and they would just become active outside. Part of that, right, is testing and confirming that everything works prior to you do it. That's why it's nice to be able to stand something up there first, test it with some DIDs, and then, you know, we would then, and that's how we would handle porting in general, right? If sure. If there are really important numbers that are in play there, you're never going to just say, I'm going to port every single number I have immediately on first go. There's going to be, you know, some sort of pilot phase that we're going to make sure everything works and routes appropriately before we pull the trigger.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. This is like most cloud changes. Like when we do mail, you know, we set everything up, we set up groups, we set up shared mailboxes, public folders. I just choked a little bit because they should be gone, but nonetheless, they're still around. But yeah, we get it all set up, and then it's good to see that this voice side has a similar path. So it's not all that unfamiliar to maybe an IT team to migrate over. Because I know historically, if I'm going to put my Wayback hat on, you know, I was working for a medical company and we did some voice changes, and it was kind of like Band-Aid moments, because we could only set up and test so much before we had to fail stuff over to the new solution. With the cloud, it's so nimble, right? You have the ability to get those user acceptance testing, to, you know, coin a developer's term, get the sign off on those hunt groups, get the sign off on you know, those queues and everything else, especially if you have a really built out solution. And in the porting part, you know, the one thing that was always funny is we, back in the day with Microsoft, the one thing I always told people before they kind of, you know, when voice came out, before they got to this fine tuned machine, I always told them, you know, your 800 number, don't port over, because you can put it, just keep it where it's at and just redirect it just in case. So you never lose your 800 number. But, you know, there's processes and things like that in place to help with that. That it's good to know that there is a path forward with the migration from the older solution to the cloud solution. But the next thing comes in mind is, you mentioned it earlier, you know, from endpoints. So we have Teams as an endpoint. Is typical Cisco phones as an endpoint work too? What are the options? Say you have an investment in a Cisco solution, and I got all these Cisco phones on the desks. Am I just going to defer to PC? Can I do hybrid? Can I do both? What does that look like?
So from the agent's perspective, the contact center's perspective, the delivery of those calls just goes to a call or to a phone number. Where that phone number lives, it doesn't really matter. Now, there are, like I mentioned before, benefits in terms of, let's say, Cisco. If you're a legacy Cisco environment that has the older phones that might not work with WebEx calling, that is just going to be a phone call across, say, the PSTN, or it could be across an existing trunk in your environment that gets you to your on-premise system, which we mentioned before as the SBC that sort of registers out to the cloud to sort of tie you to the cloud. Yep. If you're a WebEx calling customer, the benefit there is being able to log into the as an agent with just an extension. Right, because the WebEx Contact Center cloud and the WebEx calling cloud are going to be tied together in the back end.
Yeah.
So, you know, from that aspect, you'll be able to log in as an agent. The handoff is going to be maybe more optimized, we'll say, from, you know, the routing aspects within Cisco, just because it's cloud, you know, internal clouds within Cisco. From Microsoft though, right, with Microsoft, we can still theoretically have those SIP trunk ties between the cloud from on-prem to, you know, or from on-prem to the cloud, which helps instead of it being just a PSTN call, being able to utilize that existing, you know, environment that you have on-prem, you'll be able to do that. And beyond that, though, we also have customers that, you know, maybe they don't have that much voice over IP in their environment. Let's say it's a legacy, industrial business where they have a lot of analog steel, or, you know, they haven't actually invested much in their phone system. So they have a legacy PBX that's just sitting out there. Again, to us, it doesn't really matter, right? We can interface with that using, you know, T1s and PRIs to a Cisco gateway to be able to, you know, create that bridge. If they have enough PSTN functionality, then we can just send the calls directly over the PSTN. A lot of consideration goes into when we start to plan these deployments as terms of, you know, bandwidth for getting the calls to and from the customer environment, as well as, right, PSTN. So if, you know, they are publishing those phone numbers out as, you know, a regular phone number, and all those calls to the call center are now coming into their environment, and then we have to route it back out and then back in, you know, all of that, of course, has to be taken into consideration when we start to do our planning process.
It's a lot of traffic.
It is, yes, right? So, I mean, definitely, right? There's two legs. You know, if it's going to come in on premise and then go out and back in, you're going to have, right, those that call center leg, and then you're going to have the agent leg coming back. But one thing that was kind of interesting that I tested is from Microsoft Teams. There is, right, we have our channels, and inside of that channel, we can create a tab that actually is the agent desktop interface.
Oh, wow.
So, right, you can have sort of your agent interface and login screen, you know, embedded into your soft phone theoretically.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And you can have D365 on as an app on your left side. Correct, so theoretically you don't have to leave Teams. And, you know, if you are a, you know, WebEx consumer for meetings, there are ties and integrations there too, where you can actually make a meeting from Teams that is a WebEx call. So that is, you know, truly being open gives options to organizations. I think one of the things it comes down to then is, you know, what is the licensing model? Is there minimums? You mentioned from 2 agents to 20,000 agents, that's quite the span. Is it price optimized for a specific type of an organization, or, you know, it's available for all and you just have to pick the right licensing or the SKU? I know with Microsoft, you know, we just went through Ignite and, you know, there's Teams, but there's now Teams Premium, which gives some of those a little additional, I don't want to say fluff, but nice to haves for the larger organizations, which keeps the cost for a Teams license lower for regular organizations who just wants to use it for call, video sharing, document repository. Is it similar model for Contact Center?
Yeah. So from Contact Center on-premise to the cloud, there hasn't been much of a change in terms of just the structure. So there is a standard version and a premium version. As it sort of has always been. The nice thing, though, when we're talking about the WebEx Contact Center, when it first came out, standard version pretty much gave you the voice channel only. And now with Cisco pushing a lot of that development into the Contact Center, they've also transitioned and shifted a little bit from that, you know, basic model. So the standard version, although it's still, right, a little bit more basic than the premium, but you get a lot more now for your money. So the standard version also offers web and email, web chat and email as well in those omni-channel functionality. So, which is really nice because that was something that, you know, most of our customers I would think would take advantage of right away and, you know, be able to start to interact with their customer base. The premium version takes it a step further and starts to offer you more digital channels. So Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, right? You know, Apple Business Chat, Instagram, all of those. With the standard version, in terms of customer journey, you will get now post-call survey. So being able to provide, you know, post-call surveys after the call's over, take those responses, you know, put them all into, we'll say, like a database, and then be able to report on those later to understand sort of, you know, net promoter score or customer satisfaction. Being able to see that really helps, you know, the agents and to understand that. In premium, right, it goes again even further. You then have the ability to expand on that with, you know, SMS and email surveys, and having that customer journey right in front of the agent will also be able to assist them in talking to their customers, knowing that, hey, the last time this user called in, they, you know, gave a really bad score for, you know, the agent they spoke to, right? Well, now you can be proactive in that response.
Over the top, say, right? Give that extra mile to try to win that customer back. Yeah, that's brilliant. Is there any kind of integration with, say, you know, obviously like in call centers, you have supervisory listen in, you know, there's different features like that. And there's also the ability to like tag a call for education. So say there was a call that you want to tag and say, I want to talk about this to the group and say, hey, this was a good call. This is how you need to handle, or this was a bad. Are there abilities like that within the solution?
Yeah, so the WebEx Content Center is going to be publishing or releasing the supervisor desktop, which is going to be more geared strictly to the supervisor. Okay. That supervisor license can have a the ability to take calls if they want to. If not, you can just give somebody the supervisor role. They can log in. They can sort of see what's happening. The if they need to interact with calls, then you would have to give them a license where they can, you know, barge into a call, take a call from an agent, coach an agent on, you know, something if they, if they're listening in. It gives you those training capabilities. Cisco also offers a workforce optimization package that's above and beyond, you know, the standard licensing, which that takes it to the nth degree, right? You have adherence, being able to set schedules, put monetary amounts next to agents. So, you know, you can say this agent, you know, works 30 hours a week. It costs this much to employ this agent, be able to track all of that financial aspects of the contact center. You'll be able to, you know, record all the calls, mark those, score them based on, you know, scorecards, give feedback to the agents, you know, all of everything from workforce optimization is available inside of WebEx Contact Center.
Yeah, that's one of the things I wanted to definitely hit on, because this is not just calling from the cloud. This is a contact center solution. I know there are a lot of, if you hit the Google machine, you're going to say, hey, in cloud contact center, basically it's just voice over IP services. This is a true contact center. It with integrations, you know, we talked a little bit about third-party integrations, and I'm not sure if this is addressable or not on this particular call, but the question I have is, can you integrate this into your own app? Is there an API where, like, if I'm building my own app as a customer, and I say, you know what, I want the ability to take a call or make a call from my own app that I'm building. Is that public API available, or is there certain types of requirements around that? Or is Cisco taking the stance that we want to integrate with D365 or Salesforce and build your app to integrate with that solution?
At this time, I'm not sure that all of those APIs exist yet. I know they are continually releasing more APIs into the wild. They're, you know, in terms of being able to be, you know, faceless WebEx contact center, right? Having something totally, you know, embedded into some other application. I don't think that would probably ever come. To some extent, there, you know, there'll be branding maybe. In the past with the on-prem solution, they used a product called Finesse, which was the agent interface. And there were Finesse APIs inside of those where we could, that was the old way of integrating into these CRMs, right? Cisco exposed those specific APIs that we had some third parties like Bucher and Suter write gadgets for that you would purchase from that third party. And that it's going to use just the APIs that are available to log into the contact center, to take calls, to make calls. So I don't know if it, you know, if those APIs will come about at some point, but they are definitely releasing more and more. I know that I believe in the last release, or, you know, coming soon, there's going to be a lot of agent interface APIs that are exposed for customizations and things like that.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And again, you know, I kind of prefaced it with, like, you know, we do a lot at Esternets with Power Platform and Power Apps, and, you know, the back end of that is D365. So if you know, there is a path to kind of do things and interface with the screens that are in Dynamics. So if you can pop a screen in Dynamics that has that kind of an integration, I'm sure that it would extend beyond that. So it's kind of good to see that they're curating it, and it's not the Wild West, but it's also kind of on the leading edge from a contact center. Is there, again, I mentioned a preferred customer. What's an ideal customer, and what would they need to do to start this? Is there a POC? Is there, like, what does that look like for a new customer?
So for my ideal customers, I mean, really, it could be anybody, Right. The one nice thing about the WebEx Contact Center is you're not really tied specifically to sort of that VoIP vendor anymore. Yeah. You know, you can be a Microsoft phone system, you know, customer. You can have some old, you know, PBX in your environment. That's not going to stop you from, you know, taking advantage of some of the solutions that you can put forward here. There are, you know, from what are the next steps for customers that are interested?
Yep.
Right. What we would normally do is we would, you know, of course, schedule that call with them, learn more about their environment, learn what their requirements are. You know, as much as, you know, we'd like to sell Contact Center, you know, it's might not be necessary for that customer. And, you know, I think at S4Nets, we always pride ourselves on what's, you know, providing the best solution for the customer.
Yep.
So that's the current, you know, whatever their current needs are really important to make sure that, you know, we have those documented. But if you are looking at that, if you want to maybe expand your capabilities and move into that digital channels, like we talked about with WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger, or some of the more basic ones, just, you know, email interactions with your customers, web chat, you know, it's a very simple solution to be able to implement this and start to provide those enhanced, you know, channels to those agents and for the customer interaction. If you wanted to start looking at maybe doing some more virtual agents and you wanted to sort of take some of that busy work off of your agents, right? Password resets, or you're getting asked the same questions over and over again. Well, the nice thing about WebEx Contact Center is it integrates into Google on the back end with Dialogflow. So we can write, you know, very complex virtual agents that your customers interact with. And if, you know, that virtual agent doesn't solve that problem, then it could still always be escalated to a real agent. You know, with Dialogflow, we have the ability to do audio and or chat virtual bots.
Yeah, well, sentiment analysis on the back end kind of help out with that. That's awesome.
Yeah, and if it's more customer service based or we'll say technical, and there's an FAQ, the nice thing is you can really import your FAQ into Google to be able to then say, hey, you know, I get asked all these questions. Well, you went through the whole, you know, went through the work to actually create the FAQ for the customers. And, you know, maybe they don't use it, right? They just call in.
Yeah.
Well, now they're going to use it just because your, you know, your virtual agent is backed by your FAQ documentation. So what is their current needs? You know, what do they need more of a concurrent based or named user model? You know, how many agents do they need? How many supervisors do they need? Normally, like, you know, how do they want to connect into the environment, right? So how do they take calls today? How do they take these interactions today? And, you know, as part of that, that's all just sort of our information gathering terminology. And then what we would do is there are try and buy solutions. We can, of course, you know, create stuff in our own environment to demo it. But normally, you know, once we get to that point, we would do a try and buy with, you know, with WebEx, and you know, make sure that it's the right solution for the customer.
Yeah, that's awesome. So one other thing around, you know, next steps and licensing, I'm going to marry those two together. So I know those who are Microsoft centric, you know, that when your EA comes up, you have to true up. So you have to look backwards. Is Cisco true forward with this solution? So say I have a really great 23 and I go from 25 agents to 50 agents. Is it easy to scale? Is it just applying a license? Is it a consumption license, or is it, you know, based upon an agreement that you true up, or is it both, depending on who you are?
Yeah. So all of Cisco's cloud solutions are true forward. So you have the ability, right? If you do oversubscribe a bit, they don't hit you for going over. It's, you know, if you're going to be using that moving forward, Contact Center is a little different. It's more of an ongoing, Cisco, you know, will look at your environment and your license consumption at different parts of your contract and your subscription. And that's how they'll get sort of that true forward number. You know, you only pay for it as you move forward using, continue to use those licenses. Inside of Contact Center, and this is what's really nice about, I would say, their licensing model is, you purchase your licensing, whether it's concurrent or named users, and if you need to, or if you need to burst, let's say, or you have a lot of seasonality in terms of your staffing, you can go over. So they're not going to restrict you from building out new agents and using those agents. If, you know, all of a sudden you need 50 new agents, we can go in, build 50 new agents into your environment. And then what would happen is Cisco is just going to sort of look at that usage over the next month or two, and then they'll be able to say, okay, here, you know, this month you used, you know, 50 agents over your subscription, so you'll be charged for those extra 50. But, you know, after those 2 months of bursting, you come back down. Now your bill's just back to normal again.
So they do a like proactive right sizing, which is kind of refreshing. I dig that. Any other thing that you want to call out, anything that sticks out to you, you want to let our listeners know about Contact Center? I can tell you again, I was the integration and the demo that you did for us, you know, and I was kind of poking around on our D365 and kind of looking at things. It's pretty nice. It's really integrated. It's clean. It's not janky. That's not a technical term. Janky is definitely not a technical term, but it is really clean and well integrated. So anything else you want to call out about it, or anything that you feel that the audience, that to help them make the decision to take a look at it?
So if anybody's familiar with the on-prem solution, the UCCX, or any other contact center application that requires a master's degree in terms of creating the scripts, or, you know, a ton of Java programming or things like that, Cisco, I think, did a really, really good job with cutting out a lot of the fat in terms of the flow builder. Right. So the script editor, we call that the flow builder. And in both the core WebEx Contact Center solution, as well as the WebEx Connect, which is the solution that provides the additional digital channels for WhatsApp and everything, that is that was Cisco's acquisition of IMI Mobile. Mm-hmm. So both of those are, you know, low code, no code flow builders that have a lot of tie-ins to, you know, existing applications. There's not a lot of stuff that you're going to have to code from scratch to be able to, you know, create these, you know, integrations between these third-party entities. And again, they just keep adding more and more enhancements to those builders to make it, you know, life easier for the engineers and the people that are actually going to be administering the environments. So I can't say enough about those, because, you know, after, you know, doing scripting in UCCX for 15 years, it's, you know, a welcome, you know, departure, right? To be able to just, you know, actually follow, you know, like follow the flow just by looking at it, not having to, you know, expand everything that under the sun. So
I'm sure that helps with troubleshooting too, right? So if something's going awry, because it's more visual, low code, no code solutions tend to be more visual. So you can kind of look at where things are kind of maybe hitting a roadblock if you need to troubleshoot a flow or a call tree or something.
Correct. Sure, yeah. And they're also going to be, adding some enhancements like tracing. So right now, like, you know, we sort of, you know, in the troubleshooting parts of it, we can of course make some phone calls in, or, you know, send some chats in and, you know, make sure everything's working as it should, but sometimes there's some areas where you're like, well, I think this is configured right, but you're not sure. So now what they're going to do is they're going to add even more visual tracing capabilities to be able to say, hey, which the on-prem system did a little bit better at this point, being able to step through each each jump in that that script. So that's coming. Stay tuned. it'll be very welcome, from the engineering side of things.
Yeah, definitely. Any other final comments on before we close out?
No, I'm excited about Webex Contact Center and really all its capabilities is not having to be tied directly to Cisco on the back end is a nice thing. We can reach a lot more customers that way. Yep. More inclusive, having to, all of those Microsoft users really can come out, and we can, I think, build a really awesome contact center for them.
Yeah, I'm 100% agree. Could not agree more. And, it's, I think we need to get you back on the show. Maybe we'll have a special about direct routing and session border controllers, because there's a lot of options and a lot of possibilities there. And, we're seeing just from a pure calling perspective, not even including contact center, organizations tying their, UCS to Teams, and the integrations are endless at this point. And, we have answers for some of that. And I appreciate you stepping on today, and hope you'll join us again in the future. The other thing I want to call out is, as usual, our primary anchor sponsor is Solutions for Networks, day job for both of us. And we like to thank Solutions for Networks for helping making this show possible. And with that, I'm going to close it out. I know we stepped away from Security October a little bit, because this is that important of a topic. We wanted to kind of bring it up and make sure that we kick off November with, let's talk about collaborating. Let's talk about communications. Let's talk about everything Teams and WebEx in between this month. So stay tuned. Thank you for listening. If this makes it to video, thank you for watching. I think this might be an audio only. We'll have to check it out. But thank you all, and we'll see you on the next time.